Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are taking, well, the ultimate shortcut into the life and mind of a writer operating under some pretty extraordinary pressure.
Yeah, we're diving into this amazing intersection of high-stakes political history, Sumerian mythology, and, you know, the day-to-day reality of running a donor imbiss.
Right, a kebab stand, basically a quick service place in this small, historic German town, Coburg.
It really is an electrifying mix of sources we're looking at. It kind of blurs the line between memoir and fiction, doesn't it?
It does.
We've got novel excerpts, we have political manifestos, and these really deep personal reflections from our protagonist, Azad.
And he's not just wrestling with, like, the plot of his novel. He's dealing with a huge identity crisis.
Absolutely. Constantly negotiating this tension between Azad, the guy serving kebabs, and his, well, larger-than-life alter ego, Mad.
Mad, the ancient Sumerian priest and self-proclaimed free man. That's quite a contrast.
It is.
So our mission in this deep dive is really to unpack this foundational conflict. We want to get how Azad's big literary quest,
which is to manifest this mythological figure, Zingara, into reality, right there in Coburg.
Yeah, how that forces him to confront, well, the burden of prophecy, his own personal trauma, and these political struggles.
And not just current ones, but connecting back centuries.
Exactly, like 16th century stuff alongside today.
And that burden you mentioned, it really starts with this weight of expectation. Huge expectations placed on him since he was a kid.
Right. The sources are pretty clear on this.
Mm-hmm.
Azad was basically told he was, you know, destined for greatness.
Yeah.
We see these reflections where friends wrote in his high school yearbook something like, "You will be our imam someday." His teachers called him the great man. Even Naqshbandi sheikhs apparently said his star is bright.
So he grew up under this intense, almost divine expectation that he was meant to change the world.
But when you're held to that kind of standard, the everyday reality must feel, well, crushing.
Definitely. He's running this imbiss, this kebab stand, and the community, while they respect him, they have a much more grounded vision for him.
All they seem to want is for him to be a good father, husband, and citizen. You know, stability.
Not revolution.
Exactly. And this is where his internal conflict really kicks off. He writes that no one was asking him to be Azad, this complex, singular guy, or demanding he write his potentially world-changing novel.
They just wanted him to fit in, to conform.
Mm-hmm.
But he felt this other drive, this need for authenticity.
What's really fascinating is how he uses his own physical reality, sort of filters it through this philosophical lens.
You mean his limp, the XXIO?
Yeah. Most people might see that as, well, an impairment, a negative thing.
But Azad saw it completely differently. He saw it as his unique strengths.
How did he figure that?
Well, he believed the limp forced him to walk slowly and feel detail more deeply. It kind of set him apart, made him an outsider, yes, but an observer.
Okay.
He wasn't rushing along with everyone else. He had to pause and analyze the world's, you know, fractures, which made him, in his view, the perfect person to see what was missing from society.
So the limp becomes this symbol. A symbol of the distance you need for real philosophical thinking.
Yeah, that's a powerful way to put it, a reframing.
But doesn't that huge weight of expectation, this pressure to be the great man, doesn't that actually tempt him to, like, escape reality rather than face it?
Oh, for sure.
To swap the kebab stand for the mythic mad persona.
It absolutely pushes him towards seeking a solution that's, well, bigger than himself. And this is where his deep intellectual side kicks in, his connection to history.
Right. He doesn't just see his struggle as personal, does he?
Not at all. He sees it as part of this ancient, unfinished political fight.
We see him really digging into historical texts, specifically about the 1524-1525 Coburg Peasant Rebellions. That's 500 years ago. Why was that so important to him?
Because that rebellion, it started with this cry, this fundamental demand that just echoes through history for marginalized groups. Ekmek ve özgürlük.
Bread and freedom.
Exactly. For Azad, this wasn't just some historical note. It's the constant ongoing struggle for basic survival and political dignity.
So he draws a direct line.
A direct painful line between that 16th century peasant demanding justice and the contemporary Kurdish struggle.
He even points to a Newroz celebration in Hanover, the Kurdish New Year, as a kind of turning point for his own internal resistance.
Yeah.
So for him, the conformity his Germantown wants, his personal trauma, the global fight for Kurdish self-determination,
mm-hmm.
It's all connected.
All linked by this quest for genuine freedom and justice.
And if the problem is that massive outstanding centuries.
Then the solution has to be equally monumental, which brings us straight to Zingara. He can't just fix history with a petition, right?
No.
He needs a myth.
Okay, let's make that shift then, from the sort of external political battlefield to this internal mystical solution he's building. Zingara. She isn't just a character in his book.
No, not at all. The sources say she is an entire missing dimension.
Wow.
Azad presents his novel not just as, you know, literature, but as a blueprint for fixing the universe. Zingara is literally the missing piece of the universe.
Representing true civilization, courage, justice, big stuff.
Huge. He believed the world was fundamentally incomplete, like it was missing a crucial color in the rainbow of life.
And without her?
Without her essence, he writes, love will never descend upon the earth. He thought modern society, caught between, I don't know, consumerism and historical injustice, had forgotten what real honor and resilience meant.
So Zingara is like the lost spiritual and moral framework.
Exactly. The stakes for writing this novel couldn't possibly be higher in his mind.
No kidding. If the fate of love itself rests on your manuscript, well, you'd need some courage to finish it.
Definitely.
And his literary journey, it starts with a muse right there in Coburg. Helen, the bakery worker.
Helen is the first spark, yeah. He sees her and instantly connects her to the Sumerian goddess Inanna.
And his plan was initially about art, right? Pure dedication.
Pretty much. Finish his novel, Mad, give it to her, immortalize her spirit that way. That would be the first step in bringing Zingara into the real world.
Okay, this is where his alter ego, Mad, becomes really important. Yeah. He's writing this intense novel for Helen, but he needs the mental strength, the persona, to actually be the revolutionary hero he's writing about.
That's it, exactly. Mad is the template, the Sumerian priest, a magician chosen by the goddess Ninhursag.
And he had that star symbol scarred on his chest.
Right, symbolizing his oath to fight injustice, protect the vulnerable. So Azad adopts this persona. He literally wears a star symbol necklace. It's like metaphorical armor.
Enabling him to act in the real world.
He becomes Mad, the free man, who can finally deliver on the promise that Azad, the sort of conforming guy, maybe couldn't.
So he's got the myth Zingara, he's got the muse Helen, he's got the persona Mad, but, well, reality is messy.
Very messy.
And when he tries to force this beautiful fictional structure onto the chaos of real human relationships, that's where things start to unravel.
And that unraveling really starts with Sophie.
Sophie, an Italian woman he meets in Coburg. She becomes his first big real-world experiment, doesn't she?
Yeah, he tries to basically will her into being Zingara, but Sophie's life is incredibly complicated.
What was going on with her?
Struggles to get residency, her brothers were in prison, complex relationships with men like Davoud and Mario, just a lot.
And Azad sees her not just as a person with problems, but as a project.
Pretty much, a project he has to save.
Okay, but was he really trying to save her? Or was he kind of using her chaos to prove his own myth worked, even if it put her in a tough spot?
That's really the core ethical question the sources leave you with, isn't it? He does a lot for her, practically speaking. Helps her get a continuous residency stamp, gets involved.
Inserting himself right into her life, trying to script her redemption story.
Because he believes if he can save her, he proves Zingara is real, that the ideal works.
But Sophie's life, her reality, it just doesn't follow his script.
Not even close. Her chaos, her desperation, it just spirals, leads to deep distrust between them.
There were lies.
Yeah, lies about her actions, and then ultimately she accuses him of assault.
Whoa.
Which forces Azad into this devastating moment of truth. He failed. The experiment failed.
And he takes back the necklace.
Takes back the Mad Zingara star necklace. He concludes he gave the sacred symbol to the wrong woman. He tried to force the myth onto chaos, and it nearly wrecked everything, his reputation, his whole mission.
That's a complete collapse of the heroic experiment. So where does he go from there?
Well, the focus shifts dramatically. From trying to rescue chaos, he moves towards nurturing potential.
And that potential is embodied by someone much younger, Duru, the Fudinshikas.
The bakery girl, exactly. Duru represents something else entirely for him, authentic, unspoiled potential for the Zingara ideal.
So she doesn't need rescuing.
No, he sees her as embodying those ideals naturally. She needs protection, not rescue, and his relationship with her is completely different, explicitly platonic.
He's very careful about that distinction in the writing, isn't he? He calls her Evlat.
Which means like a child or daughter figure, not a lover. His purpose totally shifts.
From imposing a script to empowering her.
Yes. He writes for her, treats her with immense protection, huge respect. He states very clearly, I am only here for you to create a Zingara.
So the mission changes, It's not about finding the lost Zingara anymore, like with Helen or Sophie.
No, it's about actively creating the new Zingara. And the real turning point is when Duru herself starts writing in the Zingara notebook.
She takes ownership of this story.
Exactly. The ideal gets transferred. The external mission feels, in a way, complete.
The novel is done. The myth is sort of established through Duru.
Mm-hmm.
What now? He has to face the consequences, the price of all this.
Yeah, the price of victory. He's been living this exhausting double life in Coburg, mostly away from his family for, what, over a year and a half?
And this is where the sources really pull us back to Earth, don't they? Contrasting this huge mythic quest with the reality of his family. We come back to his wife, Özlem.
Özlem, who also walks with a limp, interestingly, sharing that physical trait with him.
And their relationship, it's built on something else entirely. Shared trauma, deep commitment.
And the most incredible detail is about their son, Sybend. He survived a really severe heart defect, completely against the odds.
A miracle, essentially.
A miracle built entirely on Özlem's perseverance, her strength, her just endless love.
That must have been the moment of clarity for Azad, right?
Mm.
Comparing the drama of trying to save Sophie or manifest a myth.
Versus the quiet, profound heroism of his wife, fighting day in, day out for their son's life.
Yeah.
It seems like that's the moment where the authentic truth just completely overshadows the mythic fantasy he'd been chasing.
He realizes his first love, his most important love, the real source of his freedom, maybe?
Is the wife who waited patiently while he finished this huge, consuming writing mission. The fight for bread and freedom, it's realized not through some fictional star symbol.
But through the daily struggle of protecting his own family.
Exactly. That earned shared responsibility gave him a much deeper sense of freedom than the whole mad persona ever did.
So the victory is complete. He starts to wrap things up in Coburg.
Finishes the novel, sells the internet cafe.
Recognizing it was never really about the business itself.
No, it was just a physical stage he'd set up for the whole Zingara project.
Uh-huh.
The experiment is officially over.
But he doesn't just abandon the whole idea, the spirit of it.
You know, he leaves Coburg, returns to Özlem and Seabend, but he takes the novel and he takes Durer's newly inspired story with him.
And commits to writing her a new happy ending.
Fulfilling that role of the nurturing writer, not the dramatic rescuer.
And his whole journey, which started with that, you know, crushing expectation of being the great man.
It ends with this really powerful personal statement. I am this. The free man, Azad.
Finding his freedom not by escaping into the myth of mad.
But by courageously choosing to return to his responsibilities and by cultivating that authentic potential he saw in Duro and ultimately recognized in his own family.
So if we zoom out, what's the big takeaway from this whole arc?
Well, Azad started by trying to escape his difficult life through fiction, right? Believing that one person's problem somehow reflected humanity's collective problem.
Okay.
But he discovered that real freedom, it isn't found in some mythical past like Mad, or by trying to force a solution onto chaos like he did with Sophie.
It's found somewhere else.
It's found in the courageous choice to return to responsibility, anchored by the real love of his wife, Özlem, and by nurturing the genuine potential in Duru. That's where the freedom was.
It's a really stunning arc, actually. It makes you think hard about the whole relationship between art and life.
Definitely.
Azad believed all along that a life cannot be scripted. You can't just dictate it with a writer's pen. Yet, he sort of managed to rewrite Duru's fate, and maybe more importantly, his own.
Yeah, it's a paradox.
Which leaves a big question for you, the listener, to maybe think about. What are the personal, the ethical limits when you decide to turn your own life, your deepest beliefs, and your relationships into the raw material for your art? Where's that line?